What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places. In Jesus, the name of this broadcast is, well, Prophecy Reality. I have a regular broadcast that I do here the other 4 days a week called Cross the Border, just Bible teaching. And, well, not just Bible teaching, but I think it's pretty good. And some of you have heard it. So you should check it out during the week. Right now, I think I'm finishing up my series on Jeremiah, which was always one of my favorites. And I even enjoy hearing it again. So there you go. Because I feel like when you're really teaching the Bible, expository, you open up the book and you read it. And if you're a teacher, the Holy Spirit can move you to do a little preaching or exposition on it. And the Holy Spirit works through that. So I love, you'll hear a lot of expository teaching on First Amendment radio throughout the week. And I enjoy all of it too. That's why it's there, because it builds me up in the faith and in my knowledge of His Word. And that's why it's a good idea to listen to First Amendment radio throughout the week. And I was thinking of this morning, where this, of course, is my Prophecy Reality edition. I come here once a week on Wednesday mornings for 2 hours and just talk. Okay, so the my text is open, the studio line is on, and hopefully everything would work if someone texts me or calls in. But I don't take calls from people that I don't know. And because I don't have a screener, you have to be your own screener for me, meaning that the number here, you can text at any time. But if you're going to call in, you must text first with your name and where you're texting from. And then when you call in, I will take your call. So that's the way that works. That keeps all of the other calls out, because I just hang up on them if I don't know them. You know, that's the way that works, okay? For my own sanity and for the continuity of the program, that's what we have to do. Also, I was thinking about changing the name of the program. For some reason, not very many people like Prophecy Reality. What do you guys say in the chat room? I'm not looking for ideas. I already have one. And anyway, and I say that because, you know, right now I just started YouTube. I have a First Amendment radio channel there, and I have a Prophecy Reality channel on YouTube. But if I feel like, you know, because like I did last time, I just thought YouTube is not going to like it if I say this. But I said it anyway, and they gave me warnings and took the videos down. So I'm back in warning jail on YouTube, and I've been in warning jail for years. Because I didn't go through there, because they've got some, indoctrination thing that you have to go through and check the right answers. And you can always anticipate what the right answer is, because you know what YouTube doesn't allow you to say on YouTube, and you know what they do allow you to say. So it's not a big deal. You can go through it and just anticipate. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to, what's the word? To mind control you or something, yeah, I guess, by making you give them the answers that they want and you know they want. And so I've decided, see, right now I've got buttons over here to the right of me that I can click on them and click YouTube off. And I wonder, like, if I'm going to say something and I go off the air, it'll be because, you know, I had the urge to say something and I couldn't help myself because the truth must be spoken, whether anyone likes it or not, and especially Google, YouTube. And I don't think they're going to give me a warning or a strike for saying the things I am about them. But if you talk about other topics that they don't like, even though there are people that have millions of followers on YouTube, they can say those things. But I cannot, because, you know, they have millions of followers, and YouTube kind of likes people who have millions of followers because they make lots of money when you bring in millions of followers. They probably, you know, they would, well, they did. They've cut off a lot of people that did bring them a lot of followers before. But anyway, that's YouTube University, the YouTube universe, but it's not all of reality. So, and I did leave a link in the YouTube chat room so you can come over to Rumble. I'm watching the Rumble chat room. I've got it over here on the other screen. I need to get it closer, so I have to look way over there. But good to see you, WW, Brother John, Gio Veldon, New Millennium Foundation, the same characters that were here last week. Good to see every one of you. Yes. Been in YouTube jail, says New Millennium Foundation. Yeah, well, First Amendment Radio and my Prophecy Reality channel are in warning jail right now. When you have a warning, that means that the YouTube algorithms ban you, okay? Or if they just don't like what you're saying, especially if you out the Antichrist. I think that's my major crime, is out, but I don't think they give you a strike or a warning for that. But that's probably coming in the future. Yeah, as more people become aware of who the Antichrist and what he's really doing. Anyway, I'm thinking about prophecy reformation. What do you guys think in the chat room? Prophecy reformation, you think that's a good one? Instead of prophecy reality, prophecy reformation. Because that's what we need. We need a prophecy reformation. You know, we had a Christian Reformation, a church Reformation that became fully blown on the scene in the 16th century, although there were people that were working on it before that. Martin Luther just happened to be the obscure monk who posted his 95 thesis on October 31st of 1513. And so we give it that date. Plus, we do believe, I believe with many other historicist expositors, prophecy reformation. That's what we need. The church today needs a prophecy reformation. It so happened that about 2,000 years ago, 1900 years ago, when John wrote his, when John wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that there was things happening in the church already. Paul had already written that the mystery of evil, the mystery of iniquity, was already at work. The Antichrist power was already forming, the one that would appear and become visible when the Roman world, the Roman Empire, divided into 10 kingdoms represented by the 10 horns. John wrote about that later in the Revelation, that those kingdoms, the 10 represented by the 10 horns, had received no power as yet. Okay. So there were kingdoms or divisions of the Roman Empire that did not have their own kingdoms yet, because all of the rule resided in Rome for the first five centuries. By the end of the five centuries, Christianity had conquered Rome, and pagan Rome was put down, and of course Rome became a Christian empire. Yeah. Did you know that, anybody? Under Constantine. And everyone, they go, "Oh, Constantine, he was only a nominal Christian." Oh, I don't know. Yeah, probably, but I wasn't there. I don't know the man's heart. I know that God is very merciful and forgiving. And even if Constantine may have been saved, I don't know. Yeah. It's like I'm not willing to guess about Donald Trump or Cyrus, these ungodly rulers that were kind and did God's will. And yeah. So I'm not in the heart judging business, especially from 2000 or from 1500 years in the future. But yeah, he engaged in some idolatry and stuff like that, whatever the record shows. But anyway, Christianity conquered paganism. And of course, we all know that within 100 years, Christian Rome became totally apostate, kind of like Judah and Israel had become apostate the same way. And then God, like he brought judgment on Israel, he then began to bring judgment upon Christian, the Western Christian Empire, okay? And the barbarians from the north came in. They overthrew the empire. Those 10 divisions were established. The little horn rose up and subdued three of them, and took that. And those would be the three in the immediate area of Rome, because and Rome, the rule for Rome now switched from imperial to ecclesiastical. And the Antichrist was revealed, that man of sin, as Paul spoke about, and verified by all of the few authors that we have that wrote in the second century, that this is their understanding of what Paul said in conjunction with their newer revelation, the book of Revelation, which was written and released to the Roman Empire at the end of the first century. So people would start studying it, and then authors in the second century would start writing about it. And that was their understanding, that when the kingdom divided into 10, that then the Antichrist would rise, and voila, 200, 300 years later, it so happened that it fell out. So that's history. And the Antichrist rose up and began his 1260-year reign over Western Christendom, the ten-horned area, or the beast, the area of the beast power, being the old world or Western and the Near East in Europe. Okay. So there were those during that period who protested and said, "No, we have to follow the word of God." And you have the Albigenses, the Waldenses, the Hussites, the Lollards, the Wycliffeites, and many others, numerous others. There were the Paulicians and many others, if you read through like the history of Protestantism by James A. Wiley. Okay? And you'll learn about all of these different sects. They were called heretics by the great Papa in Rome, who declared himself to be the head over the church. Yes, Jesus kind of claimed that first, I think. And I don't, he usurped the place of Christ in the hearts and minds of many men on the earth, even fornicating with the governments of the earth, fornicating with them because he lusted after their power and wanted to usurp also not only the place of Christ and God on earth, but the place but the authority in all those nations over the whole earth, not just the old world, but when the new world was being discovered, he exercised power over that by saying, Spain, in the name of the Roman Catholic Church, you can take this and this and that over there in the Americas and Portugal, you get this part and you get that in France, you get this part over here in Africa, and he started divvying up the rest of the world, despite the natives that may have already been there otherwise. So the earlier Reformation fathers, John Huss and others, leading up to the outbreak of the Reformation and the resurrection of the witnesses, because I believe that's happened on, I believe that's why we celebrate Reformation Day on October 31st, or I should say, we very few people would celebrate it. There's a few churches that celebrate it, and they have their Reformation celebration instead of Halloween or Harvest Festival, because Harvest Festival is kind of pagan too. Okay? So, it's time now. When we had our Protestant Reformation, we had a Reformation. Uh-oh, let me see what I got here. Unknown number. Decline. Okay. So, we had a Reformation. And what did the Reformation, what was that all about? It was about theology, our salvation being by Christ alone, through faith alone. It was also about the Word of God being our standard for faith and practice, and the papacy would have none of it. So they persecuted hard, Huss, and burnt a lot of people at the stake and scattered their oceans and the rivers and to the sea. And, you know, and they, you know, tried to stamp out any opposer at all throughout the whole of the old world, Holy Roman Empire ruled by the Vatican. Throughout its the ten kingdoms or the ten divisions. I heard my tone for a break. Okay, I hope everything is still working good and I don't have to worry about that. I'll try to figure out what that problem was later if I can track it down, but I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Please be sure to like and share this broadcast. And remember to subscribe to my blog at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture. What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Okay, we're back. So anyway, we all know that the Reformation began, and the witnesses were revived from the dead because they were declared dead 3.5 years to the day earlier by the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, the papacy, and they celebrated it too. But 3.5 years later to the day, and you can check out if you want to verify that for yourself, you go to horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com, and I believe it's volume 2. You can read all about the exact days from the celebration of the death of the witnesses to 3.5 years exactly to the day that Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg. So we have that. And there were those who proclaimed that during that time. They saw themselves in history. But what was the main object of the church now that we have this Reformation going on? One, it's protesting and fighting the ongoing persecution from the Antichrist and his minions. Okay, they were burning Bibles and people at the stake. The persecution was great, but now that the church had been revived, the persecution is still ongoing, but now they're protesting openly. By the middle of the century, okay, it became a well-known fact and well-proclaimed fact that the papacy was the seat of the Antichrist, and the Pope was indeed that man of sin spoken of by Paul, the apostle, at 2 Thessalonians. This is a fact of history. There are plenty of witnesses from the 15th century, from 15th century records that we have, that proclaim this very thing. the whole world, the old world as it was at that time, the whole world had become aware and proclaimed, and it was so obvious that by her simony, her idolatry, her persecution, that she was indeed, the Roman Catholic Church was indeed that great apostasy spoken of by Paul at 2 Thessalonians, that and that the seat of the papacy, the Pope, yes, it was the seat of the man of sin, sitting in the temple of God, which, if you paid attention while you were studying your epistles and the New Testament, you would have learned that the temple of God is the church, the people of God. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? So when Paul said that the man of sin would be seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and usurping the place of God on earth, or at least attempting to, doing false miracles. Of course, his miracles are always false. The devil don't do real miracles, sorry. He does false miracles. Deception. That's his forte, deception. Okay? And the same thing with the man of sin and his false miracles of transubstantiation and other nonsense that they do. Plus, you know, crying statues and visions from, you know, the mother of God. Yeah, not the real Mary that was the mother of Jesus, because Mary was not the mother of God. She would be appalled at the title. Appalled, I say. So they had their job cut out for them, and bringing people to the true gospel message of salvation by grace alone, establishing church government, forms of worship. And this is what this, it's a prophecy, was not a focus for them. Because a lot of people go, well, they didn't write anything in prophecy. And they didn't. Not very much. There were some things, like identifying the Antichrist as the man of sin. That is a declaration of the understanding of the historicist method of interpreting prophecy, which is the biblical method. So now, here we are. Fast forward 300, 400, 500 years, and something has been corrupted. And what has been corrupted is prophecy. And why would the Antichrist want to corrupt prophecy? Well, because it's about the man of sin and where he shows up in history. And they didn't like it. You know, because the whole world became aware. The whole world was saying, you are the Antichrist. The papacy is the seat of the man of sin. They didn't like it one bit, and they had to do something about it. And they did. They did do something about it. They came up with alternatives. And nobody paid attention for quite a while. And things kind of got lost, and then, you know, since the papacy has control over most of the governments of Western Europe as it is, even though some became Protestant, the war between the Protestant and the Catholic lasted for, you know, centuries. It just went on and on, and then a lot of people that were Protestant name only. You know, I guess we have rhinos. I guess they had pinos, okay? So they were Protestant name only. And then the Catholic Church, through the power of money and its usurpation of the thrones of many nations, the political fornication is what we're speaking of here, continued its object of persecuting and killing, burning heretics and Bibles, and ostracizing people. And on one-tenth of the kingdom fell away. That would be the British Isles. You see it over there off by itself. And at the behest of a ungodly king who wanted to divorce his wife because the Pope said no divorce. You know, see, that's how much in charge the Pope was. If you wanted to divorce and the Pope said no, you couldn't do it. Yeah, you had to get permission from the Pope. It's like getting permission from God. And so he said that brought about the division or the falling away of one-tenth of the kingdom. Another interpretation that historicists believe in. But by now, because of money and the power that the Antichrist wields by that money and his sway over the kingdoms of the earth, people have now bought into his alternate theories on prophecy, meaning that the Antichrist is a guy who wouldn't show up until the last 7 years or 3.5 years, depending on which version of this fantasy you want to believe in. And now the whole world, even the most of the so-called Protestant, we'll just call them evangelical world, believe that now. I'd say a good 95%. That's why we're sitting over here with less than 30 people watching on Rumble. But if we were talking about the rapture, well, there's entire channels on, you know, there are dozens of channels on YouTube that have hundreds of thousands and millions of subscribers because they talk about rapture. They have rapture ministries. Now, this rapture, they've taken a word from the Latin Vulgate, the harpazo in the Greek, and they redefined it as another resurrection. When it's not, it's only the catching away part. It's not a resurrection at all. But they believe that it is another resurrection, that it's a third resurrection, because they don't tell their adherents that the Bible only speaks of two resurrections. And of course, I'm talking about general resurrections, yet future. Some people go, Jesus was resurrected, so that's not true. Or Lazarus was resurrected, so there's not just two. But I'm talking about two general resurrections, yet future, in prophecy. And what the first one is called, guess what? The first resurrection. You can read about it in Revelation 20. Sorry about that. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 20, the chapter on the millennium. And of course, there's another resurrection that comes later after it. So guess what that one should be called? Even though it's not labeled second resurrection, the first one being labeled the first resurrection, of course, logically, if there's another one that follows it, it's the second. So the scripture only gives us two general resurrections yet future. One happens when Christ returns, and the other one is at the great white throne judgment, where everyone who didn't make the first resurrection will be resurrected. Yeah, that's why the scripture said, blessed is those who have part in the first resurrection, because on them the second death hath no power. See, they've already died once. And we will, when we have part in the first resurrection to come, we will never die again. That's why the second death hath no power over us. Now, those people that are saved through in the millennium, the mortals that live through and are born and live during the millennium, well, they won't suffer the second death. They will be, I believe, changed in a moment when that time comes, because they won't go to the white throne judgment, because everyone who is saved in Christ is judged in Christ. There's no judgment for Christians. We are already judged in Christ. Now, as we continue our mortal life until its end, we are being sanctified, set apart, because Christ and his Holy Spirit are working in us to sanctify us, okay? And to conform us to the image of his Son. Of course, with our own particular character, who we are doesn't die. we become who we were supposed to become in Christ, the man or woman that God created us to be in Him, okay, in the resurrection. That's who we become. But there's that second death. There's a second resurrection followed by a second death. Those people are going to be resurrected from the dead for the great white throne judgment. Now, the amillennials don't like this at all. They don't think those people will ever be resurrected again. But the sins they committed were done, where were those done? In the flesh. And so they have to be judged in the flesh. It's kind of a rule. So they're judged in the flesh. And they will go into the lake of fire. Everyone whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. All right. So it's time. Now the whole Protestant world, and they don't even like the name Protestant anymore. They reject that. That's how much sway the Antichrist has, that they don't even like. And the Antichrist is also, you know, called, like Martin Luther, calling him anti-Semite and things like that, when he was no such thing, okay? Yes, he was against Judaism, because Judaism, without Christ, condemns people to hell. Judaism, if it does not lead to Christ, is a bad thing. And especially your unbiblical Judaism, you know, because you have Judaism like you have Catholicism. It's the whole side of the religion. They don't look at the Bible. They don't study it and find Christ. They study it and find Antichrist, or they simply do not find Christ. They find a religion that they can live with, a good works religion kind of thing. And that's why Israel was always being punished in the past, because they thought by their good works they were going to be saved. So they did everything to the letter of the law. But, yeah, they were wrong. And that's what the Catholic Church is like, an extension or a revival of Judaism. It's the Christian form of Judaism that doesn't lead to Christ even today. That's why, I mean, one thing you can see to verify that is, what does the Pope wear on his head? Not all the time, but he wears a yarmulke on his head. That's a sign to me that this is just Christianity's Judaism. Yeah, the religious Judaism, Judaistic Christianity. That's all it is. As they're all trying to make their way into heaven. But the Antichrist, Martin Luther said, called him our ancient foe. Yeah, still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. So, and still seeking to work us woe even today. So we need a prophecy reformation. History has gone on. The Antichrist has lied and got even Protestants to believe in his false prophecy. They don't believe it themselves for a minute, even though they developed it. They didn't develop it for themselves, but they developed it for Protestants. And it took them hundreds of years for Protestants to forget and evangelicalism to adopt. I believe really when the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, okay, was developed, that was like their aha moment. That was like the clincher that really reeled the Protestants evangelicals in, the ones that forgot what they were protesting, okay? You can't call yourself Protestant if you're not protesting what the protesters were protested in the beginning when they got the name Protestant. Okay? So being a Protestant isn't a bad thing. Protesting is a good thing, as long as you're protesting evil. And that's what we're doing. We're protesting evil, and we're protesting one of the greatest seats of evil in the world today, which is, yes, Roman Catholicism. Now, that's not to say that Roman Catholics are evil, because I was born a Roman Catholic. My parents were Roman Catholics. Most Protestants today that are Protestants and know what they're protesting, well, they were Roman Catholics who read the Bible. Usually that's what happens. They read the Bible for themselves and they go, huh, why isn't the Roman Catholic Church following this book? And then the Holy Spirit works in them and they think, yeah, you know, I should go by this. I do like this grace by faith, because I realize that no matter how hard I try, I just can't be good. And I really don't want to be good. And at the same time that I want to be good and I want to please God, but I realize I can't. And I need help from God. And they realize that it's only by Christ working in them and not by any works that they could do of their own volition that they are saved. Yeah. And that's Reformed thought. Yes. Yes. Yeah, some of mine too. A lot of protesters, even in Catholicism today. I see them all the time. I see them over there at lewrockwell.com. I see one guy sitting on the news program over there at the New American. And then you have the really outrageous ones that are protest against their own church, but they still hate Protestants because they love their idolatry. Those are the worst of the worst. But, yeah. But all I can tell them is just keep protesting. Yeah, but try to read that Bible, too. Because if you don't get the faith thing right, if your faith is still in your own works, even if you're protesting your church and your faith is still in your works, then you're not going to be able to break away. You're going to be like Martin Luther. He thought he could reform it. But he later discovered, and proclaimed that the Roman Catholic Church, once he discovered that it was the Antichrist, he declared it as irreformable. Yeah, and that's what it is to this very day, irreformable. All right, let's check the chat room, see what we got here. Baptists announced dancing now allowed. Well, that's Huber. But only if it's the Trump dance. Ah, Babylon Bee. That's great. I love that one. Yeah, but only if it's the Trump dance. Yeah. Yeah, let's see what else we got here. Dispensational had its root in Francisco Ribera's Jesuit ruse. Yes, definitely. Followed by Darby and Schofield. They're the ones who made it popular, and especially with bringing on that pre-tribulation resurrection, redefined rapture. Yeah, boy, people love that, because you know everyone's afraid of judgment, right? At some point in their life they go, I have sinned, and my works, no matter how hard I try, it seems like I always fail, you know, because God's not going to let you get away with that, with thinking that you can pay your own way into heaven, because you'll miss the boat. So he'll continue to convict you. Thank God for that, right? Until you figure that part out. So we can only rely on the work of Christ for salvation by faith. But anyway, so people are afraid of judgment, and they're afraid of all the horrible judgments that are written about in the Revelation. They really stoke the imagination if you don't have any understanding of what's going on, especially if you believe they're all going to happen at once in the future, when the tribulation, the great tribulation happens, okay, either 7 or 3.5 years, and you want to escape that. So they build up that fear in you, and you go, oh, man. You know, because you're afraid of going through tribulation in your flesh, even though your life is full of tribulation as it is. And many people are suffering great tribulation at some time, probably all the time, somewhere on the earth. Okay. But They spook you with this boogeyman, Great Tribulation period, where all of the calamity of the entire Revelation, which has actually played out over the last 1900 years, most of it, is already done and gone in history. But you believe that it's all going to happen at once, and it's imminent. It could happen at any minute. That's right. So they've got you afraid of that instead of afraid of the judgment of God. And your new salvation is a pre-tribulation resurrection that's not even in the Bible anywhere. That's your new salvation, is believing in false prophecy. So that's a false salvation. It's a false gospel. First, the judgment is not the judgment that's coming on the earth. That's not what you need to be afraid of. You need to be afraid of the judgment that comes when your mortal life is at its end. That's the judgment you need to be afraid of. You need to fear him who can kill both, who can cast both body and soul into hell. Not any judgment that's coming on the earth, no matter how bad it could be. And there's only one way to save yourself from the real judgment that you should worry about, not the false judgment that may or may not ever happen in your life. And you go, oh, I believed in the rapture. I'm saved. Right? No, you're not. You may end up in hell because it's a false gospel. That's what the rapture is. It's a false gospel. And all those who put their hope in it are believing in a false salvation. So it's time for a prophecy reformation. And I feel like I'm alone out here. So, prophecy reformation. So I think maybe I should change the name of my broadcast from prophecy reality to prophecy reformation. What say you guys? Anybody? Yeah. There's no salvation in Jesus cookie. And there's no salvation in rapture believing, in a rapture that's never going to happen. Yeah, there's no salvation in that. Now, when Jesus does return, there will be the harpazo, called rapture in Greek, but it's not the one, it's not a third one that happened 7 years before some earthly calamity. Okay? That's the lie. That's the one you can't find in the Bible. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, causes us to repent, empowers us to resist evil, and comforts us with God's peace. Amen, brother. Brother John in the chat room. So anyway, I heard my tone. My first hour is up, and I will be back after some messages. You're listening to Prophecy Reality on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Make sure you like the video and share my website and the videos with everyone you know all the time. I'll be back in a few minutes. Please be sure to like and share this broadcast. And remember to subscribe to my blog at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. There we are. Okay. Well, there's a lot in the news these days about World War III, that's what they're calling it, and I'm sure you've heard about it. I played some of the news broadcasts here in the afternoon and overnight when we do our three-hour news, where I used to have David Knight, but I decided to play the three separate news programs that I'm playing for more variety and different, more viewpoints, for more objectivity, because it seemed that David Knight was not being very objective. And sometimes I'll even play David Knight if he has a segment I think is worthwhile, which he has a lot of stuff that's worthwhile, even though he is kind of has some Trump derangement syndrome of the opposite variety going on. But anyway, so we have the news and World War III going on. Trump is appointing rabid Zionist warmongers. Yeah, but still, I'm glad that Obama and the Biden administration, including Kamala, is not in power. I would rather have Trump. At least he was working out a peace thing with the Antichrist in the Mideast. And that's really his, that's Trump's object. He wants to get back to that. And I want him to get back to that, too, because I kind of like peace and I don't really want World War III, though I'm not sure we're going to have World War III. But one thing I am sure of is the Kings of the East conflagration has not happened yet. And since everything the scripture says is going to happen, then there's no way of avoiding it. So whether it will be World War III, like a lot of people are saying, or not, I don't know. I have a feeling from what prophecy has left to be fulfilled, two major prophecies that have left to be fulfilled in the Revelation, that it will not be a World War III. I believe that, I personally believe that the 30 years war that spanned World War I and what we call World War I and World War II, that 30 years war, I believe that was the outpouring of the seventh vial. Myself personally, I don't know if anybody believes that with me, but I'm saying, I'm hoping I'm not wrong. I hope that I am right, and I believe I have enough assurance from my understanding of the Revelation and prophecy fulfilled to believe that those two things that have yet to happen will not be a World War III cataclysm that will be greater than World War I and World War II. Because if the seventh vial was not that 30 years war, which to that point and to this point in history is very fitting for what the prophecy says, that it's the greatest, that so great an earthquake unlike any that the earth had ever been seen before in history, what it amounts to. And that would be that 30 years world war era, okay? So if we have what they want to call World War III is developing with the kings of the East. I'm going to just call them the kings of the East. You know, here's our map. Here's Western Europe, the 10 divisions. And, okay, we got to talk about that 10 divisions, okay? The 10 horns. John, writing the Revelation, about 95-96 AD, okay? He said they had received no power as yet. So what is a land area that has no kingdom as yet, as John said? It's just land, right? So you would take this Western European theater and just divide it into 10. Now, we know one of the divisions, which fell away, would be here, the Isles, the British Isles, and some of the, what do you call this? What did they call this up here? The Norwegian, this peninsula here, where you have Norway and Sweden, okay? And some of that fell away at the same time, too, according to the prophecy and according to history, okay? So a tenth of the kingdom fell away. So you would say a tenth of the land that made up the Roman Empire, since they had no kingdom as yet, what you have is land divisions. So it doesn't matter how the lines between the kings and the lines are drawn in a map, and whether there's 10 or not, or more or not, it doesn't matter, because before all those things happened and kept changing and moving around, okay, before that happened, before those kingdoms had before those horn divisions had received any kingdom as yet, by the word of John there in the Revelation that he received, they were just land. So that's why I look at the 10 division, the horn divisions, and they really represent 10 divisions of the total area represented by the sea beast. That's what it represents. And the same thing when it comes to the little horn. The little horn is a smaller division of one of those 10 horn divisions. And of course, we all know that the little horn represents Rome. Now, when it has the mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, we know that it represents Rome ruling from the Vatican rather than imperial Rome ruling from whatever the seat of the imperial power. Okay? So that little horn represents Rome. A city is a further division of a greater nation or national area of the 10 divisions of the power. And this is how we understand, historicists understand the prophecy. And this is what the prophecy, what we get from the book itself. And that's why I wrote The Beast Apocalyptic, $9.99 on Amazon. Everyone should buy this book. Buy it as a gift for rapture believers. Buy this book for them. Once they see it, they will not be able to unsee it, and their rapture belief will begin to unravel. And that's why I wrote this book, okay? So that people could have a good understanding of what the beast powers are, what the scripture says, what the scripture undeniably says about them. They can't unsee it when they see it, if there's any truth in them. Those are the ones we're trying to reach. So Christmas is coming. Buy your Prophecy Pundit, your Rapture Believers of this book. It's about like 110 pages. It's a real easy read, and it's a great reference work if you want, you know, if you want a reference for, and it's also it's a key to the revelation, to understanding the revelation itself, because if you don't have this knowledge, then you can't understand the revelation. If you don't understand how the book of Daniel, Daniel's prophecies and the revelation are wedded together and inseparable, then you'll always be confused. That's what this book is written for. Not making a lot of money on this book, a couple dollars maybe, and that's about it. So it's $9.99 on Amazon. If you have an Amazon account, they'll ship it to you for free. Okay, there you go. And if you're traveling on the road, you can listen to it for free. Go to our Rumble channel, the one you're listening on right now. And if you go to the playlist tab there, you'll see that I have the Audible version there in a playlist for you. Not only of The Beast Apocalyptic, which is book number one of the Revelation Enigma Decoded, but I also have book number two, an exposition of the Revelation, and book number three is The Millennium Question. Oh, that way. The Millennium Question. Okay. And I've read a lot of books on the millennium, amillennialism and others. And I, you know, not to brag or anything, because I'm not like that. You guys know me. You've known me for years. I have to say I believe that The Millennium Question is the best book on the millennium that you can buy today. Anywhere, seriously. That's more than just my own personal bias and opinion. Yeah, might have a little personal bias mixed up in there, but like I said, I have a lot of books on the millennium, and I think this one tears apart every amillennial construct and tears it down to the ground, because amillennialism, like dispensationalism, have nothing expressed or explicit in the entire Bible to support them. And if they were honest, both holders of those things would say, that's true. They would go, but, yeah. And they'll use arguments. Well, like, you know, doesn't say Trinity in the Bible, but we believe that. Okay, but it does say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Bible, and I believe in those three. So there's something expressed in the Bible that, you know, that gives a lot more credence to the Trinity than the nothing expressed in the Bible gives any credence to amillennialism. And I don't mean to offend all you amillennials out there. I don't believe that you're not saved or something like that, or you're going to go to hell for not accepting the chapter 20 of the Revelation as it is written. That's your problem, not mine. And if you want, please buy the book and challenge me. Like I said, you can, if you don't want to buy the book, you can use my own voice against me, because I read the entire thing, and it's there in the playlist tab on Rumble. So make sure you take advantage of that. All right. Let's see. Okay. Got a couple people watching here. I don't know how many. Let me check something out here. Yeah. Okay. Trump is appointing rabid Zionist warmongers. He won't stop the Mideast thing. He only talked about ending Ukraine. Genocide is genocide, regardless of the party. We both, okay, I have a lot of opinion there, New Millennium Foundation. Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I do kind of think that Trump wants to get back to his peacemaking thing where he left it off. I think it was very disappointing for him because he was getting that Abraham Accord thing rolling along really well. And I even wrote a book about that. This one's free. You can have this one, but free. The Abraham Accord, because you're in the chat room today, I'm going to put I have this on a PDF on the internet. So we're going to copy that. We're going to go over to the chat room here and paste it in. So if you're in the chat room today, you get a free copy of the Abraham Accord there. And, you know, email that to everyone you know. Put it on all of your, that link to all of, on all of your social media accounts, Facebook, X, all of that. And let everyone read about it, the Abraham Accord. And because this is what the dispensationalists are waiting for with bated breath. And this is what the very thing that they're waiting for and they want to happen, what Trump really wants to happen. This is Trump's true desire here, to get this thing happening. And when it happens, see, it's going to overthrow their belief because the rapture is their pre-tribulation resurrection, their third resurrection that they falsely label the rapture or harpazo, is not going to happen. Their falsely redefined harpazo is not going to happen. And that's why I'm all for it. Let them build the thing. Let's get it out there in the open. And when they start building this Abraham Accord thing on the Temple Mount, bringing the three Abrahamic faiths together. What do we got here? I've got this from Robin in Idaho. It might help if those calling in turn down the volume on whatever device they are listening on. Fire. Well, wait a minute. That's an old message. Are we live today? Yes, we are. Okay. So anyway, that's Robin in Idaho asking me if we're live today. He just texted me. I turned the notifications back on the text because I thought it used to give me a visual notification, but it stopped doing that, I guess. So I had to turn the audible notifications back on. So anyway, so the texting works, and yes, Robin, we are live today. And if you're just showing up, you've missed most of the broadcast. But don't worry, I will upload it. Well, it will be on YouTube as soon as the broadcast is over, and I'll upload it later on Rumble without the parts that are silent, not on it. We'll edit those out for the replay. I mean, for the upload, anyway, for a better listening experience. All right, anything else going on out here? Trump is appointing Rabid. Yes, we got that. So, yeah, please do take that, read the... and also I wrote it as an introduction to dispensationalists, as an introduction to historicism. That's what the book is all about, as you can see from the whole book is here. The Abraham Accord, we talk about that and what happened there. This is, of course, with the thing that just happened in Israel and what's going on there now. The seven-year tribulation, we talk about that, virgin confusion, and the New Testament temple, we talk about, let's see, Daniel's 70th week, all of the things that are necessary to shake up and wake up all of those people that are caught up in the pre-trib rapture doctrine. Okay, so anyway, that is there for you for free. And if you also, you don't have time to read, but you have time to travel or work, You can also listen to that playlist. I believe I have it on Rumble too. I'm not sure at this very minute that I have it on Rumble, but I think it is there on Rumble in the playlist tab. Okay, what were we looking at before? Ah, yes, the kings of the East and what is going to happen. So we have, you can see the earth, because the earth is round when you put it on a flat map, there's a curvature. Sorry, all you flat earthers out there, but I'm still not buying it. So what's east is on a curvature. So you have Western Europe, the old world here. And can you see my, yeah, you can see my pointer there. So, and then due east is Russia. Let's see, China. And where's that other one down here? Oh, yes, North Korea. Well, they're all aligned together now. North Korea is actually with Russia and Western Europe. These people are insane. But, you know, it takes an insanity to start what they conceive could be World War III. And now I feel like I'm ready to say something that YouTube won't like. But there are people on the earth, and many of them in control and have a lot of power, that believe the population of the earth should be greatly reduced. And they've tried other things, which we will leave unnamed, okay? So they don't take the video off of YouTube. But they have done the other things recently in their attempts to reduce the population. And it didn't work well enough for them. Yeah, they weren't satisfied with the result because, you know, God only gives them limited power. And he uses things that evil people do to judge people that are apostate. Yes, because you notice when God judged Israel, you read about it in the Old Testament, that he brought those pagan, worshiping, idolatrous nations in there to punish his own people. Yeah, so it's kind of a thing that happens when God judges. He uses other nations and unbelievers to judge those people that have gone apostate and rejected his truth and decided to be apostate. So he brings the apostates in to punish them and give them a taste of what they're signing up for. Basically, that's pretty much it. Oh, you like idolatry? Well, here's where it leads. And here come the idolaters with their weapons of war and their tyranny and their murder and theft. Yeah, so he says, that's what you want? Well, here's what it tastes like. Okay. So pretty much Western Europe, the entirety of Western Europe, has pretty much gone apostate. Even Protestant England, that tenth of the kingdom that fell away, has pretty much gone. There's always a remnant everywhere you go, no matter how many apostates they are. Okay. There's always a remnant. But judgment comes nonetheless. And what is judgment? On the apostates and those that God means to punish is usually tribulation for his own people. Yeah. Because then that's why we fight so hard against the evil that is, say, in America. Anyway, God brought many punishments over the last 2,000 years. The Islam powers, the Turkmens in history, were a major woe to apostate Christianity over the last 1,000 or so years, on many occasions, okay? Named woes. And about the pouring out of the sixth vial, God said that the Euphrates powers would be dried up. Those Turkmen Islamic powers that were a woe to Christianity, they would be dried up so that the way of the kings of the East might be made. So we're replacing one woe or one punishment from God with another punishment from God. Okay? And we see them rising together on the scene. Will it be World War III? Like I said, I hope not. I hope it will be a limited excursion or a limited judgment. Because a judgment that doesn't give you a chance to repent from it is not really a judgment that God exercises. There's always a chance to repent from the judgment. Many people repent in the judgment. They will call on God, and they will recognize their sin in the midst of their suffering. Many people will just blame God or try to ignore that it's a judgment from God and just believe that it's whatever power is coming after them. They'll look at the men that God's using or the nation that they're using in the judgment or the disaster, the catastrophe, the so-called natural disaster, and they'll blame that and continue to ignore God. But nevertheless, there are two things, two major prophecy events that have to happen in future, and the one is the kings of the East, and I believe that it will be limited because the same powers that are going to be judged by that are going to rise up and turn on the great whore and burn her with fire, meaning to completely annihilate her this time. She's been judged in the past. A lot of people mistake that judgment for the one yet to come or for something that happened in the past. But I believe that judgment was unleashed with the French Revolution and the wars that followed that. The Napoleonic Wars brought a lot of judgment on apostate Western Christendom, of course, sparing the tenth of the kingdom, the British Isles. So I believe it will be limited because those 10 horn powers still have to execute that judgment on the great whore. And even though they do survive that judgment, the Kings of the East judgment that's coming, they're going to commit judgment against the great whore, and then they're going to gear up for the final battle, Armageddon, meaning that most of them will not repent. And that's another theme that we see throughout history and prophecy, that they repented not of their murders, their idolatries, their whoredom, etc., ad nauseum. Anyway, I'm going into break. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Please be sure to like and share this broadcast. And remember to subscribe to my blog at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word, is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Okay, we are back. Let's see. Far was interrupted. Okay, well, that wasn't our problem here. That was, probably a rumble or other problem. That's the problem when you have to press the live button on Rumble, because sometimes you'll be listening to delayed. But that's a good thing, because if you show up late for the program, say 15 minutes late, you can click back 15 minutes and watch from the beginning. You just have to remember you're out of sync with everyone else in the chat room, though. So, try to be on time, people. But yeah, click live to make sure you're caught up with the moment. But everything here is working right. But I did find out I had a problem on my that caused me to lose sound on my streaming computer. That's why I switched streaming to the other computer. It's a setting thing, so that I may have lost the sound by. But I'll look into that, make sure that doesn't happen again, if possible. Settings aren't supposed to change, but they do. Okay, enough of that. We're talking about a prophecy reformation. Yeah, that's what we need. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to write my 95 thesis. Yeah. And so where would I post it? Think about that, people. But yeah, we definitely need... And we need a prophecy reformation. I don't have to do it. I don't care who does it. Okay? See, Nicholas, I love your DLive channel. This is from Daniel in Pittsburgh. He says, when are you on live? Well, Daniel, I'm on live right now. Every Wednesday, if you're watching right now, I'm on live Wednesday mornings for 2 hours, starning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So I don't know what time. Oh, Pittsburgh. So that would be 3 hours later, it would be noon Eastern time or Pittsburgh time. Post your thesis at the Vatican. Oh yeah, the church, the door of the church at Peter's Peter's Basilica, whatever they call it. Yeah, the Basilica at Vatican, right. Yeah, I got to get on a plane and fly over there to pound it on the door. I don't think so. I need a different door. See, because even Martin Luther didn't pound his on the door at the Vatican. He just pounded it somewhere where the Spirit of God carried it away. And he had no idea. I have no idea if I put my 95 thesis for a prophecy reformation, where to nail it. It doesn't matter where I nail it. If God wants a prophecy reformation, then it'll happen. I guess maybe I need to nail it up on Rumble, YouTube, and DLive everywhere, Odyssey, all of them. And on X, I don't get any traction on X either. So, you know, I get as much traction on X as I get on YouTube, which is like none. I put something up, nobody reposts it. I think maybe two people see my posts on X. So I really, you know, I mean, these are your new doors to post things on. So anyway, it's just like, you know, Martin Luther had no idea what was going to happen. He's just sparking a little local chatter, he thought, by posting this 95 thesis on the door. It was a Catholic church, though, I guess. Yeah, it had to be, because he was a Catholic monk. So he nailed it to the church at the door at Wittenberg. But he did it for Catholics. He thought that they could reform the church, but, you know, he got disabused of that idea quickly. So anyway, just you know, it doesn't have to be me. I don't care who God uses. He can use somebody famous, but nobody famous will even talk to me or refute me, because they think they're right and they're famous and they think I'm wrong and I'm not famous. So they don't want to refute me and straighten me out, because they don't love me. They don't care about me. As far as, because a lot of them believe that you'll go to hell if you don't believe in a rapture. Some of them, yeah. Says, I've looked for the Prophecy Reality app. Oh, yes, that too, from Daniel in Pittsburgh. We don't have it in the Apple store because Apple just wants me to pay them. And I'm already paying for the app. And we have, so I built an app online, and you can see that on the screen there below. FirstAmendmentRadio.net/Mobi. Yeah, that's our app. I think we're going to lose our app on the Google App Store too, because they want me to, they want to know who I am, yeah, or something. They want me to give them ID to keep my app on there. So I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't want Google to have, I don't want to give Google anything. Honestly, I don't like Google. They keep, you know, taking my stuff off of, you know, YouTube and giving me strikes and shadow banning me by giving me warnings. So I'm in warning jail on Google's YouTube. So I'm not really happy with Google. So I'm not sure that the Prophecy Reality app is going to stay there. So make sure here's your app, your Apple app. And I actually like it better, because I use it on my phone to monitor and listen to the programs I like that are on First Amendment Radio. And the reason I like it is because when I bring it up on my stupid phone here, I'll show you, see my stupid phone, and I bring it up here, and this is what it looks like, okay? You can see it on my stupid phone. But what I like about it is when my phone, if I'm listening to it, and when my phone, you know, the screen shuts off, and I wake the screen up, I can pause the sound without having to unlock the phone. And you can't do that with the app. With the app, you got to unlock your phone and then go in and pause it if you want to stop listening to it. So that's one thing. One reason I like it better. The other reason I like it better is because it's free and I don't have to be on Google for it. So I do listen to it, and a lot of people do. And it has all of your programs are there. Plus, you can go and click on the chat room, and you'll get the Odyssey screen will come up, and the First Amendment Radio chat room will come up, which nobody's using right now. And I'm probably going to change the chat room to the Rumble chat room for the chat room eventually, because, yeah, I think we're going to have to do that and just get everybody in the Rumble chat room, since I don't think that Rumble's ever going to ban me. I hope not. But you never know about stuff on the whole internet may disappear one of these days. Who knows? But that even the New World Order, the what do you call those people? Oh, it says I missed a call now. Bill, Ohio. Huh. Well, that's crazy. Missed call from PRN now. Why didn't I hear it ring? Okay, that thing is... So I'm sorry about that, Bill. If you want to call back in, I have it right in front of my face now. Yeah. Anyway, sorry I missed your call. Bill from Ohio. I'm composing a letter to you. No, I was not. Okay. All right. Well, it says that was now. Why didn't it ring? Ah, technology. It either works or it doesn't work. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see. Oh, yes. Thanksgiving coming up next week. And I was born on Thanksgiving week about 71 or so years ago. And so, don't really celebrate my birthday. But anyway... You can say happy birthday to me if you want. I don't care if you do or not. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes my birthday falls on Thanksgiving. And sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time it doesn't. And that's all the clue I'm giving you. Okay? So that's that. In case anyone wonders or cared at all. Anyway, we're talking about World War III and what I think it's going to be. And I'd like to know what anyone thinks about that. Okay, now let's see. And this is Daniel from Pittsburgh. He says, what do you think about pastors who say we should support Israel and support sending weapons, and they use the Bible to support their cause? Yeah, I think we should not be sending weapons to Israel, and we should not support any nation. We should support the people everywhere, though. And I send support to poor people. I send support to missionaries to support the gospel. And that's what we should support. Is we should only support the gospel and people that need help where they need it, whether they're in Israel or wherever they're at. Okay? That's what I believe. But no, we should not support the national Israel. We should not be supporting an apostate nation that hates Jesus, and we should not be sending weapons to them by any means, as America and the American people should not be sending them weapons. Okay, I don't believe we should be doing any of that, because God's judgment is going to fall on them wherever it's going to fall. Whether we give support or withdraw support or send them weapons or don't send them weapons, okay? The thing that we do may bring more judgment on them, as well as may make us guilty of any crimes they're committing by the weapons that we send them. So I believe, yes, we should support the gospel, and we should support people that are in need and hurting and being persecuted or just suffering from whatever they're suffering from. And we should support them by sending help and sending that help with the gospel, with missionaries, and support people like, Samaritan's Purse and others that bring the gospel, and use volunteers to go there and to support people, feed people, house people, clothe people, and give them the gospel and give them a Bible. Yeah. And teach them that they can be saved by faith and grace through in Christ alone. That's what I believe. But we should not support war anywhere, at any time. Should we go to war? Should we fight if we're invaded? Yes, there's a time for everything under heaven. But there's never a time to do the wrong thing. Because whether it's war or whether it's peace, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's people starving or suffering some sort of deprivation, we should do the right thing. Yeah, we should love our enemies, as Christ said. Well, that's right. Jesus died for all mankind. And his gift is available for all. And so anyone who receives his gift, those are the ones he died for. Yeah. And he foreknew every single one of them. Oh. Okay. Well, it's almost the end of the hour. And sorry about all the technical things, but one thing breaks and another thing gets fixed. I thought I had everything fixed today. And I thought the phone would work like it usually works. So by next week, I'll try to have that up. And I'm gonna beat my producer all week long. Of course, that's me. Yeah. No, I'm not. Don't believe in self-flagellation. That's another heresy that we don't want to be part of or take part in anyway. Okay, so anyway, so hopefully next week I can take calls. The texts work. Hey, something works. The texting at least works. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Huh. See, this chat room seems to be stuck. And this one seems to be working. That is so weird. Do I need to Nope. Can't do that. Let me see if this chat room still works. Yeah, but the last chat is not the same one in my live. That's okay. A lot of things don't work. But they should. Okay, any comments, questions before we end this hour? I think I've said everything I need to say. Because I keep getting sidetracked by all the technical difficulties. Yeah, that happens, I guess, when you're on producer. It's unavoidable. Yeah. So that's why they have $50,000 studios and staff. Well, I don't have to do all of this stuff and get sidetracked and lose my train of thought. Where was I, you guys? Yeah, where was I? Okay. So anyway, yes. Next week we will be talking more about the Prophecy Reformation. And I'm going to try to have my 95 thesis to nail somewhere. All right? 95 thesis. So if you have any ideas for, you know, because I got 95 points I got to write, and I'm sure that there are 95 points we could write. So you guys could help me out by texting me points for, say, 95 thesis and give me the point that I should add to it. It's like, you know, the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, whatever the points are. Daniel 70 weeks. Yeah, it's a tall order, huh? Well, yeah, that's, you know, got to have something to do. Yeah. I mean, God doesn't need me, but I'm glad that he can use me. So, and we should all be thankful that he has a place for us in his kingdom and a purpose for our life All we need to do is say yes and be obedient when he calls on us to open our mouth or to do this or that or to send our money here or there or whatever it is, or to help some stranger on the side of the road, whatever, whenever the time comes. You want to be doing what your master calls you to do, so he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant, when he arrives on the scene. Okay, this show should be ending, like, right now. I think I started late, so I'm having a start ending. So, anyway, I will say, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Thank you for that, Daniel. I'll see you next time. Please be sure to like and share this broadcast. And remember to subscribe to my blog at nicholasarthur.wordpress.com.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it? Working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.